Good morning. Lovely to see you all. I don't know why I'm welcoming you, because really you're welcoming me. My name's Jo Burke, and properly I'm the Vicar of Flamsted and Markyate, but I'm playing hooky today and leaving my curate in charge there. And Liz, I gather, is doing the decorating. Let us pray. Almighty God, whose Son Jesus Christ fasted 40 days in the wilderness and was tempted as we are, yet without sin, give us grace to discipline ourselves in obedience to your Spirit. And as you know our weakness, so may we know your power to save. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. This is the gospel of the Lord. How many of you have said to somebody else, "Lightning only strikes in the same place once. It never strikes twice in the same place"? How many of you said something like that? Pop up your hand. Yeah? Think about it. Lightning never strikes in the same place twice. Is it right? Can it be right? Scientifically, it goes for the most prominent place, doesn't it? The tall tree or the church tower. That's why we check our lightning conductors every year. Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Of course it strikes more than once in the same place. In fact, the Empire State Building gets struck 23 times a year, on average. Rhino horn. Poachers sell it to the Chinese because the Chinese grind it up and use it as an aphrodisiac. You'll be suspicious of me now. True or false? True? Actually, they sell it for the treatment of fevers and convulsions. They never use it as an aphrodisiac. How that crept into our culture, I have no idea. Who invented the light bulb? Edison. Thomas, of course there is. Of course there is. Thomas Edison? No, he didn't. Of course he didn't. The people who invented the light bulb were the lab technicians who he employed in New Jersey. The idea already existed. They knew it was possible. And he set a whole group of employees to work on it. He got the credit. They used a filament used of carbonized bamboo. Who knew? We do this all the time, don't we? Factoids, they call them. Things that we just assume are true, we repeat because they're fun or interesting. But so often, they're just wrong, wrong, wrongity, wrong. So, there's no point not consuming milk or dairy when you've got a cold. It doesn't affect your mucus production. Women's periods do not synchronise when they're all on board ship or in the same organisation together. It doesn't matter which you drink first, wine or beer, your hangover will be just the same. And that thing about chewing gum, it does not take 7 years to digest it. But we do it. We live our lives with all these mistakes and repeat them to each other. Mainly, they don't matter. Cosmically speaking, it doesn't matter how bad your hangover is. It doesn't make much difference if you drink milk when you've got a cold. But sometimes they do matter. Sometimes the mistakes we make really matter. She screamed at me in the family room outside the intensive care unit. If your God existed, my daughter would not be lying in there on all those machines. Oh, I sympathize with that one. I really do. Which of us haven't felt that when something dreadful has happened? We assume, don't we? Trouble is what happens to other people, those people in Gaza or Sudan. Trouble, the awful disasters happen to other people. God surely won't let that happen to me. Except he will, won't he? Except he does. This is the temptation that the devil is offering to Jesus. We're talking number two temptation here. He takes Jesus up to the high mountain. No, he doesn't. He takes Jesus up to the top of the temple in Jerusalem and says, throw yourself off. If you're the Son of God, if you're the Son of God, he'll send his angels to catch you. No harm will come to you. Oh, the irony. In about 7 weeks' time, we are going to be walking with that Son of God to the cross. He was crucified and he knew it was going to happen. Did the angels swoop down and lift him off? No, they didn't. The angels came along later, of course. Not as rescuers, as guides, pointing the way to the followers, explainers, messengers. No. However much we want to kid ourselves, God doesn't promise us that harm won't happen to us. But oh, it is tempting to believe that that is the case. And yet it is so divisive, isn't it? And I mean divisive advisedly. The word diabolical, devilish, means to separate. And the harm of this temptation is that it separates us from God, just like that woman in the family room of the ITU. How many people have you heard about losing their faith? Losing their faith entirely because something dreadful has happened to them or to someone they loved. Temptation so often comes about not because we're tempted to do something, but because we're tempted to misunderstand something. Think about that. That first reading we have, gosh, we know it well, don't we? Eve misunderstands God. Again, like the woman in ITU, perfectly understandably. God has promised that they can eat the fruit of any tree in the garden, except the one in the middle. the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That one they must not touch, or they will die. What happens? The serpent tempts Eve. Eve eats the fruit. Adam eats the fruit. They don't die, do they? Funny how we don't really notice that. Was God lying to Eve? Or had she misunderstood what he meant? All the way through the Bible, especially with Jesus, there is this difference between life and death as we understand it and life and death as God understands it. We think, don't we, that you're alive because your heart is beating, you're breathing, you're maybe moving around. God doesn't see it like that, amazingly. I haven't got time to go through all the stages in the gospel where Jesus makes this clear. But if you think about it, you go and check. Jesus quite often describes people as dead when actually their hearts are beating and they're breathing. And he describes them as being alive when actually their hearts have stopped. Think about it. Let the dead bury the dead. Jairus' daughter and Lazarus, they're not dead but asleep. There are other examples. Life and death to Jesus means something quite different. He's got a different perspective to us. And when God said to Eve, yes, I'm accepting this as a myth, I'm not taking this as literal truth, but when God said to Eve, you will die, he means you're going to die spiritually if you touch that tree. You'll start thinking dualistically, making judgments between good and evil. It's not for you to judge. He means you'll start trusting yourself instead of me. You'll start living separately from me because you'll rely on your own judgment and not mine. You will die, but not the way you understand. And the whole of the passage of the Bible from start to finish is taking us through this death into life. Through the cross into resurrection, what we'll be doing in Holy Week. Into the book of Revelation, where the tree of life stands in the holy city. The tree of life, which incidentally also grew in the garden and which Adam and Eve were not forbidden from eating from. We're always allowed to eat of that tree. Eve was tempted to misunderstand. Temptation so often is not what we're tempted to do, as a temptation to misunderstand, to see things differently, to look at things with our eyes, form our own judgments instead of God's. We could work through the other temptations, but let's leave it at that, because I don't want you reporting back to Liz. She went on for more than 10 minutes, you know. But if you may already have chosen your Lenten fast, I do hope you have. Whether it's chocolate or alcohol or the carbon fast from the eco stewards, try this as well. Try fasting by spotting your misconceptions, spotting your misunderstandings. Spotting the things you're misunderstanding about God, and instead trusting him and his judgment to sit or kneel and pray with confidence as our Saviour has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Now let us pray for God's blessing. Christ, give you grace to grow in holiness. to deny yourselves, take up your cross and follow him. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and all those who you love, and all those for whom we have prayed, today and always. Amen.